Greetings, everyone, from Myrtle Beach Bible Chapel. If you we're still looking at maybe having the conference in between Christmas and New Year's, so we'll keep you informed on various things. But if things work out, we're still intending to do that. You have your Bibles. I'm going to be looking at a couple of scriptures, and I want to link a number of them together, so we might jump around a little bit when I first read them. Look at Exodus chapter. Chapter 11 and verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, there was a darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now look at chapter 12, and again, verse 12. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Now turn over in the New Testament. Romans 1:14. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, should be hold back or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Then 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1 says, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Literally there, that means lovers of money. And then in the verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue that. And the things which thou hast learned, thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. One last verse. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 11. Let me read verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall give them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, the lie. They all might be judged to believe not the truth, but at pleasure in unrighteousness. Exodus, you know, God brought judgments upon Egypt. You know, we're kind of going through a plague right now. And he did it to judge the gods of Egypt. Those gods that they trusted. And men put their trust in. They knew all these things. They're wise men. The sun. Sun was one of their gods. And the living God says, oh, so that's your God? Let me show you how powerless your God is. Darkness over all the land for 3 days. Thick darkness that can be felt. You ever been in thick darkness that can be felt? Perhaps some of you or most of you have been in a cave, and they take you in the cave, and then for a moment or whatever, they turn out the lights, and you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And can you imagine trying to be a spelunker, you know, going through caves, and suddenly all the lights are out, and you're in thick darkness that can be felt? I think in our own day, there's a spiritual darkness that we're starting to feel. I mean, can you imagine that people don't know the difference between right and wrong? They'll say, there's no absolute truth. And they'll say it absolutely, you know, just to emphasize their point, so that they could live any way they want. They can make their own morals. They can take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and say, I determine what's good and what's bad. Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Aren't we getting to that point today? If you speak the truth, that's hate speech. You know, now we're going to pass laws against hate speech. If you're not politically correct, we're going to pass laws to call that hate speech, and you'll be muzzled or you'll suffer the consequences. Male and female. Did you think we ever had to argue over male and female? Every cell in your body says whether you're a male or a female. And yet, in the political correct crowd, we have to pretend that some are female when they're male. Some are male and pretend that they're female. Thick darkness. And if you don't, you can lose your job. Recently, one of the editors of the New York Times decided, instead of always having just a leftist point of view, they would put a editorial in there by a senator presenting the opposite view. Well, a bunch of the newspaper people went to their HR department and said, I don't feel safe anymore, after he allowed that in the newspaper. And he was fired. Yeah. That's where we're coming to, thick darkness. Right and wrong, male and female. Do you ever think you would hear people say, character doesn't matter? You think character matters? This was years ago, in fact, when one was running for president. Do you think character really matters? You mean, do I think it matters whether somebody lies and cheats, steals and kills? Yeah, I think it matters. I think character matters. Thick darkness. Deceit. Deceiving. On purpose. If you don't have the data, you make up the news. Fake news. We hear. In our virtual world, you know, how many of us are connected throughout the day to a virtual world where, in the hands of a couple of people, they control what news you hear? What news you don't hear. They, in fact, suppress the truth that they don't like. They promote over and over again. You know, we heard about the riots, that they were mostly peaceful. And then all you saw was 24/7 of violence. And only violence in a certain manner to stir up racial tensions, to stir up these types of things. The movies, the shows on TV. Fathers don't really matter. I don't need fathers. What do you need fathers for? Look at all the fathers in the sitcoms. They're all imbeciles. You know, they're all stupid. It's not father knows best. It's now it's father Others know less. You know, they don't know anything. Just saw a good video, actually, on a YouTube by a believer called The Fatherless Family, a man by the name of Vodi Buckham. The importance of fathers in the home, and fathers being leaders in the home in the day when there's thick darkness. But think of all the shows there. Everything is scripted. The actors are just repeating lines. Now, they're very realistic. They're very believable. But you see, when all that is scripted, they can do any that they want. And it sounds like it's true. They can show sin and no consequences. They can show the pleasures of sin with no consequences. And the Bible tells us, yeah, there's pleasures of sin for a season. But then there's judgment. Then there's standing before God. Don't be deceived by the thick darkness that is around. Remember, they're feeding you what they want you to believe. And it's apart from this book. It's apart from the truth. Because they don't love the truth. In the future day, in the day of the tribulation period, God sends them strong delusion. Because they didn't love the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They marginalize the truth. They put it in small letters on the back page. They tell the lie and then tell that it was, well, we made a mistake back on the back page after it's had its effect. This is the thick darkness, the thick spiritual darkness that we're living in. Deceiving and being deceived. And so what does God do in the midst of the thick darkness? That's part of his judgment. The plagues were parts of his judgments against the gods of Egypt. The God, the sun god, had no power at all against the living God. It's interesting, the name of the sun god was Ra in Egypt. In Hebrew, the word for evil is Ra. You know, and they would say, Ra is Ra. You know, the false god is an evil god. It's a deceitful god. It will lead you in the wrong way, the wrong paths. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, he tells us, in the last days, it's perilous times, and he points out those that are the gods of the last days. Because gods are the things, false gods are the things that you love. And you love more than the real God. And he mentions three in the first couple of verses. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. And lovers of pleasure. All false gods. If you only be selfish, the greatest love of all is to be selfish. Selfish love. We sing it. We get one of the best singers in the world to sing it. You put it to a nice tune. Before you know it, you're humming it. And you're singing it. The greatest love of all is to love myself. That's the biggest problem in the world today. Self-love. Do whatever pleases yourself. Is that what the Lord Jesus says? Of the gospel? In fact, he says, if you don't hate yourself, you can't be my disciple. And there's a whole cult of self-esteem. And look at the people that are having, you know, they're in the mental institutions. They're totally absorbed with themselves. There's nothing else they think about. More and more self leads to more and more delusion. We need to get out of ourselves. You have the big I, of self, I'm so much better than you. And you have the little eye of self. Oh, I'm not as good as you. I hate myself. Well, if they really hated themselves, they would be glad they weren't as good as the other person. You know? They don't really hate themselves. It's because they love themselves too much. Because they're too focused on self. And be able to get out of ourselves and look to the one who gave himself for us. Don't be deceived by the phrases that are repeated over and over and over. You know, we used to joke in the 60s about how TASS, the newspapers in Russia, you know, they only reported what the government wanted them to report. You know, with our mainstream media now, they're no better than TASS was back then. They haven't to mislead, and they keep pushing it. As believers, what do we do in such a day? Well, we go back and look at the scripture. In Exodus 11, it said there was darkness everywhere for 3 days, but Israel, children of Israel, had light in their dwellings. And it's, what's interesting is if you go back and look at the timeline, the time they had light in their dwellings was the time they had the lamb in their house. Remember, they were to take a lamb 4 days before the Passover. That lamb would be in that house. Probably became a pet. Probably was named. And that lamb that became the light in that house eventually became the life in that house for the firstborn. And are we in thick darkness around? Is the darkness getting thicker? Yes. Do you want to have light in your dwellings, in your homes? Have the lamb in your house. Fathers, it's your responsibility. Have the lamb in your house. How do your children see that the lamb is very important to you? That the Lord Jesus is most important to you? Is he most important to you? Or do we get caught up with the gods of this world? Gods of pleasing ourselves, gods of money, gods of pleasure. This virus that has come around has shaken everybody, has shaken them into their trust in their gods. Our experts, they're telling you one thing one day, the next day they're telling you the opposite thing. And they're showing they don't know what they're talking about. They're just guessing like any one of us are guessing, would guess. Who knows what will happen with the virus? None of us know. So it shakes men in their trust in science, in men of knowledge, as if they know and will settle every problem that comes along and become our savior. It's a false savior. Learning has come a long way. Technology has come a long way. But the area in which we control, we have in the hard sciences, that we have pretty good control, social sciences, other sciences, it's guesswork. A lot of it's guesswork. You cannot trust in them. You must trust in the living God. You must have the lamb in your house. So examine your time that you spend in your life. How much time centers around the lamb, the Lord Jesus? If you say you're too busy to have a time in the morning set aside for the Lord personally, then you're too busy. A friend of mine used to always say, we always find time to do what we want to do. You know, are you committed to spending time alone with the Lord each day, with the Lamb? And then as fathers in your house, are you leading devotional with your children? Do they see when they look at you and they say, what's important to Dad? What's important to Mom? It's the Lord Jesus. Or do they see, this is more important? You get excited about that, but you drag your feet about the Lord's things. The light in the home is the Lamb. When we come into Revelation in the New Jerusalem, the Lamb is the light thereof. But he's the light in our homes today. We all have this book. There's light from this book. When Egypt is in thick darkness, you know, the Lord, the Lamb is out there. Vision goggles for us. We all can see in the midst of the darkness when everybody else can't see. But it's by allowing the Lamb to be there. This word, is this important to you? I won't say fathers because the Lord will hold fathers responsible. You know, we like to push our headship at times. Lord made me the head. Well, if he made you the head, you're supposed to lead. That means he also is holding you responsible for your family, for the spiritual well-being of your family. If you have the firstborn in your house and God has said, if you don't take that lamb on the 14th day and kill it and put its blood on the doorpost, when I come by, your firstborn is dead. In Egypt, they ignored it. I don't want to hear. We don't believe in that stuff. The gods of Israel. How strong are the gods of Israel? They're slaves. So when the angel of death came by, there was a wail in all the land of Egypt. Every firstborn, man and beast, died. What would you think in that home if the father said, you know what, we like the lamb. We're going to keep it. It's a pet. The kids are attached to it. It would be too hard on them to see me kill it. So I'm not going to do that. What do you think happened to the firstborn there? Were the firstborn, and all the firstborn were his. If you disobeyed, then you reap the consequence. The lamb didn't die, but your son died. Now let's bring it home. Are you telling your children, fathers, that the lamb has to die? Yes, he's an innocent lamb. Yes, he's so cute. You know, all animals are cute when they're little. They grow up to be big animals. Right? They're not quite as cute. But they would love that lamb. And you know how children are. They don't like the idea of death. And just, please, Daddy, don't kill it. But you tell your children that the Lord Jesus had to die. Because we were sinners. We were under the judgment of a righteous God because we fell short of his glory. Because we refused to hear when he spoke. We disobeyed when he told our parents, don't eat that, because if you do, you will surely die. They believed the enemy. You see, the deceit, the lies came in very early. The darkness came in very early. They believed just because they didn't understand right away. Yeah, why didn't God allow us to eat that? I mean, we have all these other trees in the garden, everything for us. that God said we could have. But why didn't he? And Satan said, hey, he's selfish. He loves him. He doesn't want any rivals. He knows if you eat of it, you'll be like him. That's the biggest lie of all. The Lord made us in such a way that we would know what it is to be like him. He made us in his image. He gave us the privilege of understanding the joy of creating, of creation, of having children in our own image. But we messed it up from the start by believing the delusion, the lie. And the delusion has just gotten stronger and stronger. The enemy has worked for thousands of years. He knows how to deceive. He can get all his experts to line up and tell you one thing, but when it contradicts this book, it's a lie. And Paul told Timothy, how do we know, tell the difference between fake news and real news? Consider the source. Consider the source. Where did you hear it? If the person who has continually showed that what they've told you are lies and have proven lies, why should you listen to them? And if the person's told you truth all their life and always told you truth, why don't you listen to them? And Paul says, know who you've heard it from. Consider the source. And then he goes on to say that from a baby, Timothy, you have a great heritage from your mother and your grandmother. From a baby, you have known the sacred scriptures. They're able to make you wise to salvation. Wise to save you in the midst of the darkness that is all around. Wise to bring forth light to people who are also in darkness by giving them, sharing with them the holy writings. And his mother and grandmother, even though the father was a Greek and apparently didn't have any spiritual leaning, the mother and grandmother taught Timothy the word of God from their youth. Teach your children from babies the scripture. Teach them, Jesus loves me, this I know. Those children's songs that are wonderful truths to them. Teach them, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, and that whole song. Those are great songs for children to learn rather than the world songs. The world songs can be sung by the greatest singers, put to the greatest tunes, and spew forth lies. And before you know it, we get carried into it as well. We're deceived. The light is in this book. This is a supernatural book. Does everybody believe that? You say, I believe it's God's word. If you believe it, do your children see that you really believe it? Examine your life. Examine your time and see whether you're putting in time, whether you really consider this God's word, and that changes your life. And not only then in your home, then in the assembly, each one of us, God has given a gift. And you are responsible again, both men and women, to use your gift for the blessing of others. And a family will be sound and healthy as the Lamb is in the house. An assembly will be sound and healthy as the Lamb is the center of the assembly, as Christ is the center of our fellowship. And as each one of us are functioning and using the gift God has given, it's too easy to sit back and say, so-and-so will do it, when God has given you the ability to do it. We often say, well, we don't believe in one-man ministry. We don't believe in clerisy. But you know how it all developed? It developed when there are those that are really want to serve the Lord and do for the Lord and serve in the assembly, and then there are those who will let them. We'll just let them. And your purpose in coming to the assembly is to be entertained rather than to bring something. And the assembly will be healthy as each one of us has the Lamb in our home and Christ the center in our assembly, and each one of us using our gifts. Don't say it's too small. Don't make excuses for why. Serve the Lord, because it's really when you do so. We all will be held responsible. But thankfully, God has given His Holy Spirit to give us the strength, to give us the power, to enable us. He doesn't call us to do anything. He doesn't enable us to do it. And He enables us to do it in character of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Christ. You know, you can do something, but not do it in the right way. You can even do something, well, nobody else will do it. I guess I have to do it. And then you'll let everybody know you had to do it. That's not the Spirit, led by the Spirit. When the Spirit leads, it's like fruit from a tree. My wife was just telling me, we went out picking cherries, and she said, you know, there's evidence that trees thrive better when you pick their fruit. They're kind of like made for that, to share their fruit. It's not like the Wizard of Oz, you know, where they pick the apple and, what are you doing picking my, and they start throwing apples at the kid. Not what fruit trees are made for. They probably enjoy, trees have feelings. I'd say they probably enjoy being picked, because that's the way fruit is. It's made to be shared. And so God has given us all abundance to share. Are you sharing it? Is the Lamb in your house? Fathers, are you leading? You're taking the time personally. I think it would surprise us maybe if I had people to raise their hands. How many of you have a personal time with the Lord every morning? You might be surprised how many raise their hand and how many don't. It's so easy to be taken up with something else. May the Lord be the center. May the Lord be the focus. May we all have light in our dwellings because we have the Lamb in our house. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the light of the world in the midst of a dark, dark world. Help us, Lord, to be lights. As we see so many don't even know the difference between right and wrong. Don't even know the difference between male and female. So deceived, so led astray. And yet, Lord, we have the light that can enter and penetrate into their souls of your love, of your gospel, of your self-sacrifice, Lord Jesus. Help us to follow your example and not the gods of this world. We pray this in your name.